Good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, it's Ian with FreeKeen.com. How are you guys today?
Fine, good morning,
Ian. How are you?
Excellent. Well, to your point there, Kendall, that you understand the problem, but the solution is difficult. I don't know, the problem seems to me, maybe you guys just, the solution is difficult to accept because the solution is peace. The solution is consent. The solution is bringing people together on a basis that doesn't involve coercion. And of course, the problem is coercion. The problem is force. Whenever you use force on people, whenever you aggress against peaceful people, there inevitably will be fallout. There inevitably will be unintended consequences. And you look at the court system as a perfect example of that. They're having a tough time handling all the caseload that they have, and they have to shut down because the system is bloated. The system is expensive, as all bureaucracies are, because they have no incentives to do anything efficiently. So they're just going to shut down instead of do things better. And one of the ways they could do things better, the system, is by not aggressing against peaceful people. I don't know if either of you have ever sat in on an arraignment, Kendall. I imagine you have as an attorney. But sit in the court someday on a Monday or Tuesday morning when they're doing an arraignment and just watch count the amount of people that the court is dealing with that have not harmed anyone else. The amount of innocent people, peaceful people who have done things, horrible crimes like having an open container or having a plant in their pocket or something like that. I mean, these courts are dealing over and over again with cases like this, and they actually end up getting money from many of these folks. Of course, a lot of these people are unable to pay the fines that the court imposes upon them for these malum prohibitum crimes, which of course means that the just crimes of prohibition that legislators have made things illegal that aren't actual crimes and that they don't involve victims. So I mean, can you imagine how much better the court situation might be if all they actually had to deal with were violent people who've actually harmed others? Your thoughts?
Well, my thought is that it's not the court that's bringing those people into the district court. It's actually the legislature, and the legislature represents the citizens. So that if the citizens,
well, that's not true.
It is true.
Anybody but themselves. It's impossible for representation to be legitimate because there's no way that, Kendall, that you could represent, say, just Cynthia and myself because we have some divergent beliefs. So therefore, it's kind of silly to believe that anyone calling themselves a representative could in any way represent more than one other person. But nonetheless, in many cases, the system that you're talking about is really that's just an excuse for violence. Because the police are aggressing against peaceful people consistently, whether it's again peaceful people with plants or chemicals, or people that did some sort of non-dangerous traffic offense like speeding.
Oh, maybe we need to get a whole new legislature and see if they can represent us better.
Well, in the meantime, we've got all these people being aggressed against, and what you're talking about, Cynthia, is a fairly large project that will cost a lot of money and take a lot of time because the system is very slow to change. The system is built to not change in the direction of more freedom. It's built to change in the direction of more control and more aggression. So, in the meantime, what we really need are people who the people on the ground, the police, the guys that claim, and some of them are very, very nice folks. They claim that they're just doing their jobs. Well, your job is hurting people. And the job of the police used to be as peace officers, where it was their job to keep the peace. If there was a problem, some sort of violence or property destruction, it would be their job to try to find the offender and make restitution, etc. But now they're law enforcement officers, and they, in many cases, blindly enforce very authoritarian, very controlling, very tyrannical laws on peaceful people. And And they have discretion. If you look at the police's own, you can go to the Keene Police website and you can look at their code of ethics. And it talks about how they have the option to use discretion, which means that they can look the other way. That if there is a crime being committed, as far as it's a something the legislature has outlawed, but is absolutely silly. Like, I believe in many places in New Hampshire, you need a cabaret license to allow dancing at your bar, but only two bars, I think, in New Hampshire have a cabaret license, yet bars allow dancing. So clearly this is one of those laws that it's the law, but the police aren't out there cracking down on it. There's another one where...
I think we've got to change the laws if you want
people to really represent you,
but we've also got to change collars because we've got someone who's been holding for quite a while.
Go ahead, change the laws. In the meantime, let's get some people not enforcing bad laws. Doesn't that make sense?
As long as it's the law, I think it needs to be enforced. Thank you very much. 357-1290, good morning, you're on TalkBack.
Good morning, Cynthia. It's Mark Edge from Free Talk Live.
Hi, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
How's Jack?
He is great.
How old is he now?
Just turned 2 years old.
Oh.
Joy of my life.
One of my kids had a T-shirt that said, "Watch out, I'm two."
Everybody says things, like terrible twos and stuff like that. And to me, it's just, him being him. And,
right.
It's a wonderful experience. Enjoy every minute of it.
Yes.
And I am. I really am. I can hardly imagine what it's like. I mean, it's going to be different, but he certainly has been changing, so... Anyway, I wanted to talk about the idea that we have a government that we deserve.
Yes.
And I don't think we do, because there's no such thing as we. There's only, you and me, and I have voted in every election that I've been allowed to vote in since I've been allowed to vote in an election, and... there was the contract with America. Newt Gingrich said, if we just get in the Republicans, they'll shrink the size of government. There'll be personal responsibility in Washington, D.C. And then 2000 to 2006, there was Republicans in, the legislature, the whole thing. And did we have personal responsibility or a smaller government?
Nope.
Oh, my God. You mean they lied?
Well, I think the Democrats changed.
Democrats change what
whoever is in power changes so that they're just like the guys before them. They see how well it worked for them.
That's part of the problem is that you run on what it takes to get elected, and then once you're in office, then you serve on what it takes to get reelected.
Right.
Apparently they didn't, Kendall, because they didn't get reelected.
Well, from 1994 to 2006, which was 12 years, they managed to keep getting reelected.
They did. And then, things changed. I think what it was is that they were doing, to some extent, what it took to get reelected. You certainly have to play that game, but to other extent, you have to, do the things that the people that give you money to get elected want you to do. So, in their case, it's the military-industrial complex. You've got to do, what those people want, the insurance industry, and these big... sections of the economy. You got to do what they want so that you get the big money so that you can run again. And of course, there's all the little perks that politicians get. So,
not local politicians.
I missed that somewhere. I'm in the wrong office.
About you guys. The two grand a year you guys get for serving on city council, or one grand or whatever it is, I am definitely not going to begrudge you.
Right.
And I don't think that there's too much of that goes on at the local level in New Hampshire because it's so compartmentalized. And that's one of the reasons that I moved here. It's one of the reasons that the New Hampshire was picked for the Free State Project is because it is a difficult state to corrupt. Whereas you can look at other small states like Rhode Island, which is the most corrupt state in the United States.
And I agree with you. I totally agree with you. I think that New Hampshire, because of the way we're structured, that it's very difficult to have any large-scale corruption in New Hampshire. There's certainly small-scale corruption. There are individuals that will do things. But on a large-scale basis in New Hampshire, it's almost impossible. Whereas some other states, it's the way of doing business.
So right. Politicians are not corrupt. They're just ill-advised.
So I've done everything that I can do to, and including donating money, putting up yard signs, everything I can do to get the candidates that I want in, I haven't, to my mind, got the government that I deserve. When you say this we thing, you group people together, and you also don't take into account the actual inefficiency. You dismissed it before, Kendall, but it's true. You can't teach a pig to sing, and you can't make government efficient. because it isn't incentivized and motivated in the same way that, that business is. If I'm not served properly by what you name your government agency, whether it's the police department or the fire department or whatever, and I think both of those are pretty good organizations around here, then I can't do anything about it. I still have to pay that organization. Any organization that continues to get money from its customers, whether it serves them or not, is not going to get better or more efficient.
No, all you can do is complain to us, and we could try to make them more efficient. But you know, you certainly have a valid point there. When there's a financial incentive on somebody to be more efficient, that they will tend to be more efficient.
That's the case. And until we can make government incentivized in a voluntary fashion where people can withdraw their funding from an organization that they don't like for whatever reason, and then we, what you're going to have is you're going to have inefficiency because that's the nature of it. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I got just a comment here. There's a significant difference between stating facts and complaining.
Right.
And
although
sometimes they're
the same.
But that lady that called back, is she the one that doesn't like it when Ian calls in? Well, when Ian calls in, I mean, the man makes a lot of sense. And when that lady calls in, I mean, it's a lot of jibber-jibber. I mean, she doesn't really, other than complain about these people calling in, I mean, she just really doesn't contribute much, so... I think she does contribute,
and I welcome her calls just as I would
we
anybody
love all
else's.
Our callers.
Well, I totally agree with you, Kendall. But the thing of it is, her calls are more to down the other callers rather than bringing out valid facts like Ian and Mark and those other people do. That's the point I'm making. Sure, she can say anything she wants. She has that right to. But I don't think it's right to, you know, call up and complain about other callers all the time. I mean, if you want to complain about the federal government, you're stating facts, you know. You don't hear many people call in and complain about our local people because we've got a great community here that sticks together.
Right.
And I'll tell you, and when you talk about what Mr. Primrose did, I guess it's from my understanding that the federal government had nothing to do with that project.
No, in fact, that's strictly local, and in fact, the few donations.
The financial costs related to that came from donations and came from what he paid himself. And
well, there you go. So that's why I'm such a big advocate of home rule. I think it's about time we just take back our county here. We don't need the state. We don't need the federal government. And furthermore, we don't need them pushing all these mandates on us because whenever they do something, they make a mess of it. But when the local people do it together, they do a great job.
Well. That certainly Don Primrose and the 100 Night Shelter is one example of local
local volunteerism in action, and it's been highly successful.
Exactly. And there's a lot of other things where people pitch in and help one another.
Good morning, you're on Talkback.
Good morning, and congratulations to your grandchildren.
Oh, thank you. I love
to
pray.
That's great. That's good. Isn't it nice to have that kind of
good
things in life? I heard, I guess it must have been Ian that called in earlier. Is that right, Ian Freeman?
Yes.
Okay. I got a little scared. I'd like to put a plug in there, but I got a little scared. I got to admit, I got to get a little scared about your rebuttal. You know, if someone said if it's the law, it should be enforced. Well, first of all, we've got a bunch of rogue cops around here. Nashua is worse than we are, that's for sure. But, there's a... and Manchester. But the way they're enforced is a little scary. I've watched... I've seen that woman's... that wife whose husband was pushed. I've seen what they've done to Sam, who also calls in. And I'm just thinking about if it's the law, it should be enforced. How did that work out for Nazi Germany? Just thinking, okay? I'm not trying to get anybody mad. I'm just trying to get people thinking. The court is ridiculous. They got a guy in there I saw on the, when that was the 30th, and I think it was, and they had him in there, and he's a nice, quiet guy, manager of a local business, and he happened to be in there with his hat on or his hood on or something like that, and they were trying to tell him, I mean, this is ridiculous. What kind of people are we? you know, people who think like that, certainly as far as I'm concerned, I'm a New Hampshire native. I've lived and born and raised here and raised my children all my life. I can't even start to understand that. That sounds like, by the way, Nat, are you from Massachusetts?
He's Kendall. And he's
where?
He's from Keene.
No, I'm from Keene. I grew born and raised here.
Okay. All right. I thought with the
but
thing
here's,
that you said,
here's a question for you.
Yeah?
Don't you think that realistically we have to choose our battles? You have to choose the hill you want to die on. I mean, I certainly don't want to die on a hill where I don't take off my hat. And Kendall's last name is Lane. Be careful what you say.
Well, it's,
I'm
just
listening.
Being honest. You know, I'm willing to die on the hill of truth. That's the hill I'm willing to die on, because I know what happens when the government gets out of control. You look at Nazi Germany. That's exactly what we're going through right now, and people are getting sick of it. This jail, everybody I talk to, I try and stay quiet except for when I call in on Saturday, and I haven't called in a while. I've been out on business, and I'm sorry to say that, but I miss you guys. I just can't believe what we're going through right now. And everybody I talk to is hurting, and then they shove this jail down our throat. And I love when that gentleman calls in about the jail. I absolutely love it. And I don't particularly care about Ian liking it, because he likes it for, I don't know, he likes it where it is. I don't like it where it is. I'm with the other guy. He doesn't like where it is. But I also wanted to say, I called in a while back about some local investing. There are two things. There are two groups that I found. There are a bunch of people, by the way, who are not going to be paying their tax on their that portion of their property tax, and they're going to just wait it out, and the portion of their property tax, so they're going to withhold it for the jail. And I think as that becomes more and more popular, there are a lot of people, I'm talking from all kinds of economic brackets, all kinds of tax brackets, that are saying, forget this tax, I'm done with it, I don't vote for this, I don't volunteer for it. So what I'm doing instead with that portion of taxes, and I own quite a lot of property up here, and I do actually own some down that bed below down in Massachusetts, but I try not to tell anybody. My taxes are actually a lot less down there on the Cape than they are up here. But I found a place, a local silver-backed currency that's coming to Keene, and I've heard about this a while ago, and it is, I'm probably going to be investing quite heavily with them. I'm not going to be buying advertising, because there is advertising available. I'm just investing because I like to invest in the community. I think that anybody who gets a chance should check it out.
How do you spell it?
What's that?
How do you spell it?
Oh, T-O-Z. It's the most commonly used improper abbreviation, I think it is, or for troy ounce, or it's I think it's for 20th of an ounce, actually. 20th of an ounce of silver is what the TOZ stands for.
Okay.
TOZCash.com. And I've spoken with the, I guess you call him a monetary architect, is what he did, what he is. And I've got some currency I just ordered yesterday, it's quite amazing. It's beautiful. It's more secure than the Federal Reserve note, which is a counterfeit fiat currency anyways. But it's wonderful, and I recommend that anybody invest in it, because that's one of the things that's going to save Keene here as well. We have a local currency similar to the Berkshire or something, and but it's silver-backed.
We can have people look it up on the Internet and see
wonderful.
What they want to do.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you
thank
very
you so much.
I wish you a wonderful day.
Thank
and,
you.
And in that jail.
Bye-bye now. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack.
Well, I got to disagree with that guy.
Okay.
I got to tell you, I mean, Nazism, who's dying?
I know.
Who's being branded?
And
come on.
Well,
you know, I think that guy needs to go down and see Don Primrose and grab himself a paintbrush.
Right.
Yeah,
right.
That, good idea.
Go.
A wonderful idea.
Well, I think it's a fantastic idea. I mean, come on, nobody's dying here. I mean, yeah, we're going through hard times. You know, it's just one of those things that happens. You know, like it did back in the last repression recession we had. You know, go grab a paintbrush. Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you very much. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Hello.
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 How are you guys doing today?
Doing well.
Doing
how about
well.
You?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good, thank you. Hey, I was really caught off guard when you said that you thought that all laws had to be enforced. Did you know that the average person does 3 felonies a day?
Felonies?
Well, yes. Yes,
if they do 3 felonies a day, they really ought to watch their behavior a little bit more carefully.
I'm talking about you and Cincinnati too, Matt. I mean, if you guys don't do 3 felonies a day, there's somebody else who is. And
somebody else is doing 9 to make up for our 6, right?
Yeah. But the thing is most of those felonies are irrational laws. And
well, it's a lack of respect for society as far as I'm concerned. It shows a total lack of respect for society. It shows a total lack of respect for your fellow man, and I find it very disturbing.
Okay, let me ask you this, Nate. When you drive...
His name is Kendall.
When you drive, Nate, do you think for yourself, or do you automatically follow all the laws that are on the books?
I think for myself and follow what's the laws that are on the books. I follow the speed limit. I use my blinker.
I'm
very very aware of motor vehicle laws.
Okay, so do you wait for a full second after you stop?
Absolutely, at every intersection.
Do you follow the car length for every 10 miles per hour?
I try to.
I'm pretty sure you don't. I mean, because if everybody followed the driving laws that we have, we would have accidents all over the place. We would have mass traffic congestion. The only reason why we don't have more traffic problems is because people think for themselves rather than obeying every single driving law we have.
You know why I follow the laws for driving, and it's why I follow the laws for most everything, and it doesn't have to do with anything except I don't want to waste my time worrying that I'm going to get caught.
And that's kind of sad. I mean, because if that's the only reason why you follow the laws, I mean, you don't agree with the laws.
Well, I do agree with the laws, but,
oh,
you know.
No, you just said it was because you didn't want to waste your time, you know, and worrying about getting caught.
Well, if I'm driving down the street and the law and the speed limit is 30 miles an hour and I suddenly look down and I'm doing 45, I will immediately slow down because I just want to have to worry about being stopped.
Okay, but you've already broken the law.
Well, I know, but...
but see, that's my
But you're coming
point.
Into compliance.
Right.
Especially our driving laws have us doing the bare minimum. And that's one of the reasons why we have the problems we do. Take an on-ramp, for example. There's so many drivers who get on an on-ramp and they slow down because we've been taught slowing down is the safest way to drive.
Right.
We're not taught to look ahead. We're not taught to accelerate if we need acceleration. We're just taught to do less because we're taught that that's the safest thing. But
the rate of automobile accidents is going down, so I guess we're doing pretty well.
And they're going down because people are thinking for themselves more than just doing what they're told.
Well, maybe, but anyway.
But to get back to my point is there are so many laws on the books that absolutely are not good for society. And, for example, I mean, do you have any incandescent light bulbs in your house now?
A few.
Because those are illegal now. Do you think everyone who has a incandescent light bulb in their house should be fined?
Are they illegal?
They're not illegal.
With the new health care bill, they are. Yes, they are.
Well, the new health care bill hasn't gone into effect yet.
I would like you to consider and to think of and to have your listeners think about is the fact that most of our laws are to control people and to raise revenue funds. And, yeah, there are a lot of laws that are good, but the way they're enforced is irrational. And not only that, there's a lot of laws that are just flat-out irrational and wrong.
Well, that's a story for another day.
I would just like you guys to think about that for a while.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. 357-1290. Good morning. You're on TalkBack. Hello, turn your radio down. Thank you. Are they gone? Oh, all right. Sorry about that. Good morning. You're on Talkback.
Good morning. Do you mind if I double dip quickly?
No.
Okay. I just wanted to remind everybody that Bush's third term, he said that he was going to have the troops back 16 months after he took office. Of course, I'm saying Bush's third term because that's what we've got right now with everyone who was hoping for the hope and change with Obama. It is now March 31st was 16 months he had taken office. So I don't know what you think of the federal government. I don't think much of them. I think they're going away in 2 to 4 years, and I really look forward to that. But I just wanted to point that out. That, and I think that this is. I think we, you know, if there's some way that we can send a message to them about letting them know that maybe have a protest next month and say, hey, it's 17 months. Where's your promises?
Wait a minute. 16 months would be in May because he took office in January.
Oh well, maybe it was 14 months. I don't know. I remember looking, reading an article last night. And that's what it was. So he was, I may have my months off.
Oh, okay.
But he promised to have them all back. So,
well, I think he's trying. In Iraq, I understand they're going to be coming out in
day.
August.
He's getting plenty of power, plenty of money. He's got to keep his masters happy, just like Bush did, just like Clinton
I
did,
I have
just
to
like
say, one of the biggest tragedies in the last 10 years has been that we ever went into Iraq to begin with.
Right.
It shouldn't have happened. It was a mistake from the beginning.
Yeah.
And it continues to be a mistake. But I have to give this administration credit that he is taking the steps necessary to bring the troops home. You may disagree with me, but he is in fact taking the action to bring those troops home. The elections have taken place there, regardless of whether we're happy or unhappy. I don't know.
I think he is
in fact taking steps to bring those troops home.
He has the ability to sign executive orders. Just send my family, my friends, my brothers and sisters home. Stop killing brown people 3,000 miles away, 3,500 miles away. They didn't do a thing to us. September 11th has nothing to do with it. Just bring them home.
Happy Easter to you. Thank you.